Milo's Pro Rewards members. Save big during Lowe's Pro Savings Days. Get your member volume discount plus an extra 5% off eligible orders with a quote of $2,000 or more. And buy more and save more with up to 20% off in-stock molding when you spend $250 or more. Members get more at Lowe's. Valid through 7/31. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Can't be combined with any contract or special pricing. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit the Pro Desk or Lowe's.com/terms for more details. Subject to change.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A colossal monster tearing through the streets. A city in ruins. Nowhere to hide. Until he finds a way out behind the wheel of the all-electric Toyota CHR. Instant torque, getaway handling, and immeasurable wow factor. John Cho stars in Escape. Experience the thrill. Test drive Toyota's new all-electric family at your local dealer. Toyota, let's go places.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
We're going to talk today about a situation, obviously, that took place recently in our country in Minnesota. Democratic State Rep Melissa Hortman and her husband assassinated. Officials say the couple were shot and killed in their Brooklyn Park, Minnesota home by a man impersonating a police officer. That man is Vance Bolter. He was on the loose for several days. They finally did catch up to him. And now what? That is the question. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. Jen, just your overall takes on what this is, who this guy is. He had a family. He had a life. People said he wasn't even that political, but somehow he found it in himself to go assassinate two people and an attempt at many others as well. What is this? What are we looking at here?
Well, I think first and foremost, no one can know what is going on inside somebody. Mm-hmm. So outward appearances typically mean nothing. Mm-hmm. Clearly, he was boiling over. And even though that wasn't perceived by the people around him, that's what was happening, because this wasn't just a spur of the moment. This was well planned. He had the vehicle with the emergency lights. He had the uniform that he used all as a ruse to get into these homes to commit these attempted murders and two actual murders, as you pointed out. Mm-hmm. He had a list, a hit list of approximately 70 people. Apparently, abortion was of a concern to him. Clearly, conservative views, and he boiled over and acted out.
Do you think this is something, because one of the big questions right now is, are there other people involved with this guy? Is he just the tip of the iceberg of more people? And I'm not talking about copycats. I'm talking about others who may be just as organized as he is, or may have communicated with other people on this. Do you think there's more people involved? He made that message to his family of, "Daddy went to war last night and I don't want to implicate others." What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's really concerning. Initially, law enforcement has come out and said, no, mm-hmm. There's no other people particularly involved. But, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see what if the wife is charged. She had the passports, the mm-hmm. money, that is concerning. When she was pulled over, obviously, they let her go. They need much more investigation to see if she was attempting or had harbored him in any way with mm-hmm. knowledge. And also that roommate is really sketchy. Mm-hmm. We'll see if they end up turning anything out there. But this investigation is at its very initial stages. They've mm-hmm. got a lot to unpack with everything he's done on social media, all his communications. And I think it's going to be interesting to see, but I'm worried, and I think all law enforcement is concerned about these continued lone wolves, yeah. whether it's driving a vehicle into a group of people in New Orleans or somebody like this. It doesn't matter the motivation. These are highly radical people for various political reasons.
And ones that certainly have some energy. I mean, it's not exactly super easy, I think, to go rig up a vehicle to look like a cop car. And I guess, you know, you could probably figure out how to do the outfit in some way, shape, or form, but he was pretty convincing to be able to go that far. What makes it interesting is the extent of the list, and then common sense or just healthy thinking of, are you actually going to be able to pull this much off? Do you think he was thinking that he's going to be able to go out and execute all of these people on his list? Or is that just kind of the fantastical thinking of, you know, an assassin who has serious mental health issues?
Well, you know what it reminds me of a little bit is the situation with the CEO killing, Luigi Mangione, right? They have this grandiose plan. They execute it very well because it is well planned. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the planning ends. Mm-hmm. And that's why they get caught. They don't know sort of their next steps after their initial, acts of violence. Mm-hmm. So he obviously had these two particular houses targeted, these people targeted. And then it seemed like, okay, now I'm going to go home and see how it all fares out.
Yeah, it's like they get so far and like, okay, we're good. We got the whole thing planned. And then once we execute it, it's great. And we're just going to live our life like there's nothing else going on around us or that we haven't just done this. Are you surprised that they found him alive? It seems, you know, a lot of cases, not necessarily like this, where it's somewhat politically motivated. You know, we find individuals who go off and do horrible things and then they execute themselves. Not him. He's still around. What were your thoughts on that they did get him alive?
I wasn't surprised in that vein. And let me say why. Because it seems like that individuals who do these sorts of crimes and have this agenda that they want to get out there, I think he's going to continue to want to espouse that, even if it's just to the people sitting in his jail cell, mm-hmm. right, Tony? He's going to want to continue being sort of this martyr that's going to prison for his views. And remember, at the end of the day, Tony, these offenses are all about the person committing them. Mm-hmm. It's their chance to be infamous, since they could never be famous. That's at the core of who these people are. It's a very narcissistic, look at me, I'm famous type of vibe. If this never got in the news or out there, I tell you, I think these people would go away. But of course, that's not going to happen.
Sure.
And the media was necessary to find him, quite mm-hmm. frankly.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. There's a supposedly a religious aspect to him as well. He was described as being deeply religious, volunteered as a preacher, which is, of course, the preacher's out shooting people. yet he committed the murders. Friends say he hated abortion, so that's where the abortion comes into play. We see a lot of this, and it seems that the religious extremism is what gives these sort of folks the permission, if you will, mentally to go in and carry out these things, because they're not doing it for them. They're doing it for God. This is God's greater work that they're performing. At least that's what they end up telling themselves to carry out horrible atrocities on other people. This case, murdering a wife and her husband, a lawmaker. We've seen a lot of it, though, in recent years. We've seen the Jody Hildebrandt and Ruby Frankie, granted a different type situation where they carried it out basically on their kids. We see it, Lori Vallow Daybell. That was a religious thing as well. Always taking it to an extreme. How are we underestimating the problem of religious extremism in our country? Because there does seem to be a lot of it that is brewing just under the surface. Are we about to see a lot more of it being justified under the name of God to carry out what they believe is a higher calling than even what the law prohibits?
Well, Tony, I like how you couch that as it's almost they have permission, mm-hmm. right, to commit these heinous acts as they're interpreting what God is telling them to yeah. do or what they're doing for a particular purpose. You know, I don't know if it's underestimated. You know, the FBI has always been the most concerned with, typically at the top of our chart, is religious extremists or political extremists that are lone wolves. They are the most danger. They don't have a group of people to answer to. There's no hierarchy. They don't have to be, you know, given permission by the other people they're working around. They get to take all the credit, if you will, and all the glory and not share it. So these are the people that have always been the most concerned, and I guarantee will continue in terms of the FBI's priority list.
And they got to be some of the most difficult to find because of those very same things that you just talked about there. They're not necessarily interconnected with a lot of others or sharing exactly what they're going to do and where they're going to do it. In terms of finding these people before they strike, that's almost nearly impossible unless someone who's very close to them realizes there's something's very off, right?
Well, and that's the main way that many of these scandals, or not scandals, mm-hmm. I should say, these crimes are averted. Mm-hmm. And that is because people come forward. Yeah. As you said, family members, loved ones, wives, they come forward, and we don't get to hear about those cases, but that happens all the time, mm-hmm. That they have concern and they make those concerns known. And that sort of red flags those people and averts many of these issues. But not enough of them, because obviously this was able to take place, which is really jaw-dropping, mm-hmm. that you could go into a congressperson's home and execute in this way. It's just terrible what's happening in our country, in my view.
It feels like we almost like need to, you know, and I don't want to be an overreaction, but security should probably be upped on public figures like this, I would think, right now. It's expensive to do that, and not everybody necessarily has a budget to do something like that, especially if you're just you've been elected, you don't have a big history, you're not rich, you're just being the congressperson, and the state or the government doesn't provide it for you. Is that something that you think maybe should be reviewed a little bit stronger, that maybe everybody right now needs something or someone around them, if you're that public of an official, to prevent these sort of things from happening? Because we're at such a tipping point, it feels, with people, and people are so quick to crack and break and point the finger, and that person must die, rather than let's discuss this and figure this out. Do we need to do that preventatively, or is it going to take a lot more of these before we actually say, hey, maybe we should get proactive?
Yeah, you know, Tony, from right after the first assassination attempt of President Trump, and then after the second one, everyone of us that work in security and for companies that provide such measures, we have all been screaming from the mountaintops, lawmakers must have private security. Mm-hmm. They just have to in the day and times we're living. Minimally, they need to have a security, what we call a site survey, done at their home, mm-hmm. to help equip them with how better to be more secure, to provide tips such as, if somebody comes to your door and you have no reason why the police would be called, you didn't call them, mm-hmm. and they're outside, and I think his vehicle was an SUV with lights, you take the badge number and you say, listen, officer, I'm just going to call into the department. Mm-hmm. That's what has to be done. I don't know about you, Tony. I don't open the door for anyone.
No.
I did a case not long ago where somebody was going through the neighborhood with a missing dog poster, mm-hmm. and getting that door to crack open and breaking in and attacking women. People will go to any lengths to be able to break and enter into your home and commit assaults and batteries and murders. So, yeah. You know, in using these police uniforms, Missy Beavers is a very famous unsolved mystery example, mm-hmm. of somebody who was murdered at a church by somebody dressed up like a SWAT officer. So this isn't the first time. Ted Bundy used it all the time, nor will it be the last of people dressing up as police officers to commit crimes.
Yeah, well, it's about gaining trust. And then once you have that basic little trust, all it takes is 2 seconds to pull that weapon out. The fact that he surrendered without any sort of, you know, there was no standoff. He just basically, they found him and he let himself be found. Were you surprised by that, that there wasn't a shootout? He did even text his kids or his family, "I may be dead soon." I'm wondering if he was expecting to have to go down like that, or is this a, in his mind still, "I'm being a martyr and I'm going to get out here and I'm still going to spread my views. And that's why I didn't put myself in a suicide by cop situation."
Yeah, I don't think that he really thought his plan out well. Again, kind of like Luigi Mangione, and then just throw the hands up and okay, let's, because they don't think that far out in terms of their crime spree. You know how they're going to get away beyond the few, you know, the few hours following the crime, and then it's kind of what do I do now? And I don't think he was at all, at least from what we know, anywhere suicidal, based on what everybody is reporting regarding his religious beliefs, which, you know, at the apex of Christianity is you know, against suicide.
Sure.
From a religious standpoint. And so if you're against abortion, for heaven's sakes, you would be against suicide. So I wasn't surprised.
You'd also think you'd be against murder.
Yeah, you know? There's that. So you that Ten Commandment.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's a weird thing with the religious extremism. They get to this point where it's almost kind of a godish type complex where I'm going to be the one, I'm going to be the judge here. And I view that you are not... you know, you don't meet the standards to live based on my beliefs. So I'm just going to take you out and do what's right for the world. And that's a scary thing with all of this. It will be very interesting to see what the wife knew and when she knew it, if anything. You know, we've seen cases like this. We were talking about Asa Elrup earlier. We've talked about so many situations. BTK, where someone is living in that house for years and years and years, puts off a persona that nobody thinks, at least for the most part, that there's anything wrong going on here. But then the wife was found the other, when they pulled her over, that she had cash, she had guns, I believe is correct, and passports. My initial reaction was honestly, if I were the wife and I just found out that my significant other was doing all this shit and I had no idea, I might want to get out of the country too. I know it looks extremely, like it looks really suspicious, but it might not be at all. It might just be, oh my God, I didn't ask for this. I'm just going away and we'll figure this out later. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Considering they did let her go and that's all that was.
You know what? She had guns, money, passports. The timing just looks bad. I think that that's the optimistic way to look at it. And I certainly don't think they had what they needed at that point to make a decision on charging. Those are complicated charges. Whenever you're talking about aiding and abetting and harboring and, you know, aiding after the fact and things like that, they're complicated charges. So they're going to have to really do their homework to see what communications were and to see if that's even a legitimate charge to put on her.
It is a tough one. And then you'd also, I mean, would you run into spousal law here if, you know, as far as her testifying against him? But if she was actively involved, that's a different story. And it's all just pure speculation right now. She's not been charged with anything.
It is a different story. It's just, even with your attorney-client privilege, that doesn't hold if the individual attorney is participating in any way, shape, or form in the crime. So, you know, if you're part of a crime or getting a crime down the road or covering one up or harboring, that doesn't hold. So that will be another interesting factor in terms of charging, I think.
Obviously this could definitely be a death penalty case. Where do you think, what are the next steps? What are we going to see next here into the investigation of him and where does this go from here?
Well, when you look at the Minnesota law, they initially charged two. Now, of course, they're up to one, which we all knew. It was just a placeholder. They wanted to make sure that they had everything ferreted out to upcharge. And then, of course, as needed to happen, the federal authorities came in. There's no death penalty. Minnesota, I believe it was actually one of the first states to abolish the death penalty, as I recall. And but federally, that's a whole different story. There is still a death penalty for this type of a crime. And I can't imagine that that would not be on the table considering this heinous circumstance. I mean, we just have to protect our lawmakers.
I mean, what is from you? You work in that world of private security and such. What? And obviously, I know you said you guys have been raising your hands and making noise forever, saying this needs to happen. How does it happen, though, logistically? You know, especially, you know, private security is expensive, and you know, not just because you're a lawmaker doesn't make you rich or able to afford private security. In a in an ideal world, Jennifer, if someone's coming to you saying, how do we do this? How do we handle this in a realistic way? What would you say?
Well, the number one thing is, and I've done this for high dollar climate clients, where you go to their house and you see where the points of, you know, where points need to be more protected in terms of doors and windows, security systems that are in place, camera systems. Are there areas where there aren't camera systems? What do they have in terms of guns at their home, in terms of training? Are they trained to handle that gun? Can they get to that gun that's loaded within seconds with a code on a you know, a safe that is right there at their side? Do they have they put together a plan for if somebody does breach, how can they protect they and, you know, themselves and their family? Do they have a point in the house that they are supposed to go to where they meet in case of such an emergency? Does everybody in that house know the golden rule? You don't let anyone in ever. That's why you have a Ring camera. You have some way to communicate. Are these lawmakers at least doing this minimally? This is minimal. And then beyond that, do you, are you going to fund, instead of getting that brand new Lexus SUV, are you going to fund some money to provide security? And that can even be a lawmaker. If I were a lawmaker, I would definitely have a plan in place. I'd get my site survey done, and I would hire people for when I'm there to watch remotely, at least.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things. Is it an area where we should be focusing? I mean, obviously, having security would be ideal. Is this an area where just lawmakers in general need to be more trained, I guess, in their own security for when they don't have that available? Of just, like you were saying, here's our system in place for our home, but even training on weapons, training, gun training, so they feel comfortable. If they're not a gun owner, if they're not someone who uses a weapon, it's a weird thing to say, but you know, should they all be like required training? You get elected, guess what? You need to learn this too for your own safety and for those around you, because you are now a target.
100% They really do need this sort of training for self-defense and protection. And it's so much about education too, because at some point they decided it was a good decision to open the door for this individual. And I understand why. He was in a police uniform. Did they have a Ring camera? Could they communicate without opening the door?
Yeah.
You know, because Rings and other, you know, other camera systems provide for that, where you can just talk. Hi, why are you here, officer?
Sure. Sure.
Oh, I'm here for X. And does it really even make sense? If it doesn't make sense, you don't let them in and you ask what department they're with and you call in, and you know, that would have stopped all of this. But how can you know that if you don't have the proper training?
Yeah. And it's, I think, accepting that, you know, we're not in a world where we can just open our door like that anymore, especially if you are someone like these folks, the lawmakers in Minnesota. Totally messed up story. One I hope we don't have a lot more of, but I don't know that that's going to be reality. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, thank you as always for your input on another bad story.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.